We do not suck, okay? I've been doing a lot of thinking. Decided to add someone to our team to add some real firepower, okay? I think this guy could give us a new spark. Now, don't get mad. At point guard.
At point guard?
5'10". I traded away our washing machine to get him. He punches and bunches.
Justin Penick, welcome to Talking Giants. Justin, I usually welcome the listeners to the show, Talking Giants, but Justin Penick, I am welcoming you to the show, Talking Giants, because you are our new co-host, day one. Justin, how are you doing, man?
I am doing absolutely fantastic, Bobby Skinner. I am so glad to be here, so glad to be Talking Giants with all of you. I'm ready to get rocking, rolling, and I want to ask, how are you doing today, Bobby Skinner? What's your headspace like?
I'm good. You know, I've been doing shows with Danny for almost a year at this point, so got to get used to that. You got a lot to live up to. But yeah, I'm glad you're joining. You've been doing your thing over at Bleeding Blue. So I guess we should do some kind of little introduction for people who aren't familiar with you. And there's probably some people listening that aren't familiar with me because, you know, you got your own audience. Justin has done Bleeding Blue for longer than I've been doing this podcast. I mean, me and Justin even connected back when I was doing Swimland Radio. Justin does a lot of good work on Giants Twitter. On his own podcast. I mean, it's and I tell Justin this, I don't say it. It's literally the only Giants podcast I would listen to consistently. You know, there's other ones I would check in on, but theirs was the only one I'd listen to consistently. So Justin is doing his own thing, and he's joined John Boy Media to help us out. Danny moves into a writing role. He's going to dominate that. We got Anthony Tomeno, who is going to be doing draft coverage and just all-around film analysis for us. It's going to be a fun offseason. I really do expect us to dominate because we got a core four of guys who put in a lot of work.
Yeah, we really do have a really good squad, really good team of guys who are really dedicated to really, you know, what we're trying to do. Ultimately, I feel like it's a John Boy Media company-wide mission of just overall building a community. You know, we're trying to build a community of people that live and breathe New York Football Giants football, you know, no pun intended on using football twice there. But ultimately, I think this team of the core four is ultimately the best guys out there to frankly do it. And we're all versatile and we all have our own personal strengths. And that's what we're going to bring to the table and to the team.
Yeah. And me and you are different in a little bit. I think there will be a little yin and yang because I think we're going to argue more than me and Danny did, even though me and Danny almost never argued. But I'm the kind of the I want to fight everybody, like including PFF, and you become very friendly with everybody, Justin. It's very rare that I see you just don't like somebody. List the five people you dislike the most.
Oh God, actually, I was legitimately going to do it.
Don't do that.
I will say what we would like to do at Bleeding Blues. We would like to check in with their headspaces and say, you want to know what? You're going to be spending the next 50 minutes to an hour with us, you know, talking Giants or, you know, in our case, what I've done, it was Bleeding Blue. You deserve to hear where your podcast hosts and where their headspaces are at and how they're doing. So I'm coming off of a conversation on Twitter right now. Ever since I've been tweeting more about analytics now, and analytics and stats are apparently subjective, even though they're numbers and it's very much black and white. And it should, you know, I'm trying to tell somebody that 2 + 2 = 4, and he's arguing that it's 5. So it's very, that's
Justin,
when it gets
Justin. But you know, there's context to everything.
Yes, like, there's context, and that's where your film comes in, Bobby Skinner.
Exactly. And you know what? There's a lot of new school stuff, and we've talked about this with the GM search and or the head coach search, and whether Dave Gettleman should be fired. You also can't throw away all the old school stuff. And I feel like that will be a conversation. We're not going to do it first episode, but it definitely will be a conversation we have. It's like, where do analytics fit in? Because I'm all for them, but I think they play a part and they're not the end all be all. Even though everyone says that when they're talking about analytics, they don't always live it. I'm going to be completely honest.
No, and I think that's where I separate from the majority of people, you know, especially if you're talking about, I know Talking Giants has made Pro Football Focus an enemy of the state, you know, where you separate the guys at Pro Football Focus, the Warren Sharps of the world, the Ben Baldwins of the world, and myself. First of all, I'm just getting into this stuff, so I'm just learning about
Warren
it.
Warren Sharp, like, Ben Baldwin, Pro Football Focus, and Justin Penick. Nice company you kept in there.
There's those guys, they're 50 feet of crap, and then there's me, Moneyball. But, you know, basically, I'm a young fan who's still trying to learn about that aspect of the game, which I think the entire game of football is frankly still trying to learn about that aspect of the game, whereas a sport like baseball absolutely has that stuff already down pat, basically. But I think, you know, coming from that kind of mindset, whereas you want to know what, Bobby Skinner is so freaking smart when he watches film, when he watches technique. And then there's me, you know, where I've, you know, I have a decent amount of knowledge about the game of football, but you want to know what, if a funny little graph can help me explain and give context to something that I may not fully understand, like Bobby Skinner, you want to know what, I will use that to help inform my opinions.
So We got a head coaching search going on, though, Justin. Oof. It's not all about you, and it's not all about me. We do have a head coaching search going on. And it's getting hot with a question mark, because I don't know where the Giants sit right now. The Cowboys swept in and swooped up Mike McCarthy, Mike McCarthy was a lot of people's number one target. For me, he wasn't. He wasn't in my top five to start all of this. Not to disrespect him, he just wasn't in that top five for me. So I get some people are aggravated about that. I'm particularly not, just because I just wasn't a fan of Mike McCarthy. I thought he had a bland offense, and I know he's supposed to reinvent himself. But you're hoping that this guy truly reinvented himself, a guy who said he's done it before. And we all know, like, when things get tough, you kind of go back to your old habits. So that's why I don't want to bet on Mike McCarthy being a whole new guy. But we all believe that Matt Rhule is still the Giants' number one target. We don't really know where they stand behind that. I'm, you know, a wink guy, but there's a lot going on. We don't know if we're going to have a head coach on Wednesday after Matt Rhule is interviewed and they lock it up that night, or we don't know if it's going to be Monday of next week.
Frankly, the interest that the Giants have had in Matt Rhule has been something that has been, you know, around for a couple weeks now, even heading, you know, back to the latter end of the latter end of the regular season. The interest has been there, and we all know just how not great the Giants are keeping things down pat, and how they, you know, typically let rumors leak out of the organization, and this has been one of them. So I think it's telling, the fact that, you know, again, you look at Mike McCarthy, he was a guy that flew down to Dallas and him and Jerry Jones had a nice little sleepover, and then he's probably not going to be leaving Dallas for a little while. Hopefully, if you're on the Matt Rhule train, when he's coming up to East Rutherford on Tuesday, so is that today? When everybody's listening, that'll be today. You know, hopefully,
Wednesday, then it's yesterday.
Yes, or geez, just inception with
20% of our listeners listen after the first day.
Ooh, analytics, Bobby, gotta love it. Wait, hold on. We have a soundboard. Let me find it. Oof. Yeah, good one. But yeah, frankly, if you're on the Matt Rhule train, you're hoping to see a replication of the Dallas Cowboy formula, where you don't want Matt Rhule leaving New Jersey once Tuesday evening comes around.
That's where I'm aggravated with Steve Tisch, because Steve Tisch is supposed to be in the secondary interviews, but he's not in the initial ones. And I called this from a mile away, just on a show last week, that Steve Tisch saying he's going to be more involved is the biggest load of crap of all time. Like, it's literally lip service. And it was the last question he was asked, where it's like he just made it up on the fly. Like, I am going to be more involved. So that's why it's frustrating that he hasn't been a part of all this, that we have to add him in. Like, I'm fine with him not being there, but then he shouldn't have any part of this anyways.
No, and that's a great point. And that's, you know, I think a lot of Giants fans who, number one, don't trust Mara, and number two, were kind of entrusting in Tisch to kind of come in here and have some sort of impact and have some sort of say on the philosophy and the overall thinking of the organization. But let me ask you this question. The fact that Tisch isn't involved, do you take that as, oh, Steve Tisch is just lying to our faces? Or do you just take that as, are they this confident that Matt Rhule is going to be the head coach of the New York Football Giants?
I think that Tisch just said that for fun. I really, like, he was pressed for it on the last thing, and more involved doesn't mean anything. So maybe he's just not involved at all, and they want to talk to him before they, like, make the announcement. Basically, this is where I stand. I'm not even going to answer. I can't even really answer that question. What I'll say is, if Tisch hasn't been involved up to this point, he shouldn't have any insight of being like, oh, I actually like this guy a little better.
Right.
There's five more candidates after Matt Rhule. There's Wink Martindale, who I've been on the train for. Josh McDaniels, who is supposed to be interviewed Wednesday. Joe Judge, who was interviewed on Monday. Eric Bieniemy, interviewed on Saturday. And then Chris Richard, who was interviewed on last Friday. Justin, where do you stand on these guys? Ruler Wink, I would be happy for it, and I would be excited for it. Joe Judge and Chris Richard, I don't even look at as real candidates. I don't see the Giants going after the Patriots special team coach. Richard, he was calling the defensive plays for the Cowboys, but he wasn't a defensive coordinator. And then Eric Bieniemy, I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't be excited about it because he's never called plays, and it's hard to look at, like, okay, this is what he's done. And Josh McDaniels, I would hate more than anything in the world. So, like, where do you stand on these guys? We got some voicemail questions about these guys, so you don't have to go too in-depth. Like, where do you stand on, like, from Matt Rhule to Joe Judge?
I put Rhule and Wink on the same scale and on the same tier right now, where I would not mind either. You know, both can obviously come in and be that CEO type that the Giants organization is looking for. And I think, frankly, Giants fans are looking for. Even if we hired Mike McCarthy, while some people would still be excited, I feel like some of the people that said that they wanted McCarthy, they were also fans that said that Pat Shurmur shouldn't be calling plays during the regular season either. So that would have ultimately been a tough spot to be in. I feel like, again, to have that kind of situation, because we've seen, you know, with the last, you know, however many head coaching changes we've had since Tom Coughlin too, we've had two head coaching changes since Tom Coughlin. It just hasn't worked, and we've seen head coaches that have had such a lack of situational awareness. So I put those two guys on the top tier. I'm not as against McDaniels as you are, because I do like what he does with his offense. I do like how he is creative. But again, that's a guy that calls plays. And then I really think, you know, interviewing Judge and Bieniemy are kind of more formalities, so to say. You know, I don't mind, you know, bringing in different guys and, you know, younger guys, you know, to maybe get their perspectives, and possibly if they were to maybe be a part of the staff one day down the road in an advanced role, I don't think that's a bad idea to possibly interview those guys, including Richard as well.
Yeah, I really think I think Rhule's the guy. I think, and we'll get more into that in detail, but I think Rhule's the guy. He's had the guy they've been waiting on. They've got their interview set. He's done in Carolina. And it's down to Carolina or New York. I don't see him staying at Baylor, although there's some rumors that he might do that.
I mean, Bobby, at the end of the day, it's money. I mean, you know, I hate to kind of simplify it in such a, you know, rudimentary way.
But he did turn down the Jets last year, though. So there's, I mean, it's a little more than that with Matt Rhule, though.
I mean, what is he getting, $80 million in the next 8 years, 10 years, something like that? I mean, that's a lot of dough.
Yeah, I think it's 10 years. I can't believe that they gave him that contract at Baylor. Like, I wouldn't want, like, that's wild that he's going to come to the NFL and make less money. I mean, there's like a $10 million buyout, so that gets thrown in there. But yeah, that's a wild contract to walk away from. But I, you know, the rumors are that it's his dream job, and that he's the Giants' number one target. And I think the Giants still have some play, whereas us as fans can get frustrated with them and kind of get in doomsday scenarios. But the Giants are still an attractive team with a lot of young talent and their quarterback. Like, that's the biggest question for any head coach, is like, who is the quarterback? And the Giants have this.
Right. I mean, who knows what the future holds for Cam Newton, even though I would say Cam Newton's probably going to be back. But still, you know, that's a guy you're talking about. He's great when he's right, but, you know, he's kind of walking glass right now. Totally a big question mark. Totally a big question mark.
And the Browns is like who wants to walk in that situation? I mean, it's just – right. I do think the Giants are the best situation now besides the Cowboys, who that job was obviously taken by McCarthy.
You know, the most exciting spot – and positioned to be in the National Football League right now, in terms of just looking at league trends, you know, the most exciting time to root for a football team is a quarterback that's in his second year, because you have, you know, most likely you're coming off of a year where a team has moved on from their veteran quarterback that has a big contract on the books, meaning that in this case, this is Eli Manning, that this is the first time in a few years that we're going to have a lot of cap space to go out and do some damage. We have yet another top five pick. And, you know, obviously Daniel Jones progress, you know, looking at what he's going to do this offseason in terms of his progression, you know, looking at this from a macro point of view, it is an attractive job. It's also an exciting time to be a Giants fan. But of course, you know, there's a lot of different things that are going against us in terms of what this team needs. And we'll be breaking that down, obviously, come this offseason.
All right, let's take a break. We got a lot of, we got what, like 5-6 voicemails, 8 mailbag questions. So we got a lot to get to. This will be a voicemail mailbag episode. So let's take a break and we will do that.
Mail time. Mail time.
The mail's here. Come on.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Mail!
Thanks, Steve from Blue's Clues. Justin, before we get into the mail, we have the voicemail number. So we'll do voicemail episodes, like, in season. That, like, would be our Wednesday show. The thing is, though, is that we're going to get busy going here. And we're going to take the second half of shows to, like, hit topics. Like, we're going to do positional reviews, and then we do draft previews and all kinds of stuff like that. So you can leave a voicemail at any time, but we're not going to advertise it as voicemail and mailbag questions. So save this number. Pull out your phone right now. Give you 5 seconds to pull out your phone and create a new contact. Put in Talkin' Giants. Come on, pull it up. The phone number is 732-443-0862. That's 732-443-0862. So if you leave us a voicemail, we'll play it. But we're not going to advertise. So if you have something you desperately need to say, we'll play it on every episode as long as we're not getting too many. But otherwise, we're not going to advertise every episode. So like going forth for the next month, the only one where we'll have voicemails is the Eli Retire episode. So make sure to do that. And we'll do our regular mailbag as always. Anyways, Justin, let's play the first voicemail in Talking Giants history.
This is also a side note. If anybody can think of a mnemonic device that is... What does that mean? Giants related, a mnemonic device. So basically, you know, 732, blah, 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 like making the numbers somewhat like Giants related. So if like there's anybody that has the number 73, that's the goal, is for us to do less work and for our listeners to help us out a little bit. That's the goal.
All right. Actually, it's kind of hard now. Like, who's the number 32?
Exactly. That's why I know that
Marshall Newhouse.
Yeah, Marshall Newhouse.
Aldrick Rosas, Ahmad Bradshaw.
No, come on. You're giving it away. No, I have an idea. Listen to this. Make it a five-star review.
Matt Bryant. Brown. That was the guy who beat the kicker, right?
Steve Brown.
All right, sorry.
Jeez. No, that was Josh Brown. Jeez. What a bad guy move. Yeah, but make up a mnemonic device of our phone number that Bobby just listened to and leave it as a five-star review on the Apple Podcast app. Boom. Okay.
Do not put Josh Brown in there.
No. That'd be a pretty bad guy move.
Just kidding.
I mean, if you have to, you got to. All right, let's play our first voicemail ever. This may be a familiar voice, but we'll determine that after the voicemail's played.
Hi there. My name is Dale Morrison, a first-time listener of the show. I have a question for Bobby and Justin. I have two, actually. The first one is, with Wade Willis being fired from, well, not fired, being let go, technically, with the Rams, and a lot of people talk about could he be our next defensive coordinator, would you want to see that? That's just my first question. And my second question is for Justin. Justin, hey, it's Danny. When are you gonna chug the milk or drink the gallon of milk? All right, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Justin, when are you going to drink the damn milk? I'm so glad Danny brought that up. It's good to hear Danny's voice. I honestly miss it already. So I'm starting to feel spiteful towards Justin for removing me from Danny's voice. But Justin, when are you going to chug that milk? That's a great YouTube video.
Wait, this is exactly why we saved it. That would be an awesome YouTube video. But a little context, a little personal side story. Earlier this spring and summer, David Powis and I on the Bleeding Blue podcast, we made some jokes about Curtis Riley. I made a video of it and I put it on social media. I did not at him. I did not tag him. He somehow found it. He responded. And basically, here's what I said. I said, if Curtis Riley makes the Oakland Raiders roster, I will do the milk challenge. And then he replied to that tweet. And, you know, credit to him, he made the roster. He said, get your milk ready, fat boy. And he put a clown emoji at the end of it. So I've been in preparation of getting my milk ready for about a few months since the month of August. So, yes, Talking Giants YouTube page.
What do you mean you've been getting it ready? You just go to the store and buy a milk.
You know what, Bobby? I'm trying to make excuses and you weren't vouching for me.
If Danny said that he would chug a gallon of milk, he would do it. I'm just saying.
That is true. Danny's a much more wholesome person than I am. Hold me to it.
Chugging a gallon of milk isn't that bad, right?
I've read some, because I got concerned because I lost the bet, so I started reading the side effects of this challenge. Chugging a gallon of milk in 90 minutes, that's the challenge, possibly has some dangerous side effects.
Yeah, well, so is driving a car. It doesn't mean you don't drive your car. It's not a joke. It's a fact.
Let's get to the actual topic.
What was the question?
It was Wade about Phillips. Wade Phillips. Yeah.
All right, so Wade Phillips. Yeah, I would love him as a DC. He has the respect of the entire NFL as being a really good defensive coordinator. He wasn't the issue with the Rams this year. Now, is there a candidate out there that I see him joining with? Matt Rhule, probably not. Wink, probably not. The only one you could see doing that would be Josh McDaniels or Eric Bieniemy, because I don't even view Judge as Rich and Rutgers-esque real guys. So I would love it. I just don't see it happening because I don't think either of those two are gonna bring Wade Phillips in.
I very much agree. Very much agree.
Hey boys, this is your boy, the real Frank the Tank. Hey, did a little research on Phil Snow, who is tied to Matt Rhule apparently, and what I found was that it said he runs a real complex D, and it usually takes a couple years for the team to get the scheme. I don't know if I can deal with that. I was wondering what you guys thought. Love the show. Can't wait to hear Justin and Bobby together. Good luck, guys.
Thanks, Frank. So I looked at Snow a little bit. He's the Baylor defensive coordinator. It's hard to say. I should have went and watched some of more of their games, but like in that game against Georgia, it seemed like they were just rushing three, rushing four, and then just dropping back in the coverage. So I don't know how unique it is, and obviously they probably played it a little different against Georgia. But that is something that kind of worries me about Matt Rhule. Like, are you going to bring your whole college staff? Because I think he'd be better off bringing in some NFL guys. Even if it's upgrading a linebacker coach to DC and a QB coach to OC or something like that. But I don't like the idea of him just bringing in his whole college staff. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, I just found some defensive metrics for the University of Baylor as of October and December. And Baylor, I mean, I guess this isn't really saying much, but Baylor kind of topped the Big 12 in terms of their defensive metrics, which is EPA, which is expected points added. But basically, I looked at those metrics, and Baylor was kind of tops in Big 12, which again is not saying much. The transition from college to the NFL level is something that does need to be heavily, heavily considered when you're putting together a staff. And if Rhule is going to be a CEO kind of guy, I would definitely want the staff under him to have some sort of NFL coaching experience, even if it's a coordinator level or a positional coach level.
What do you think about the complex D? Because that's what we heard from James Betcher. And honestly, I never really saw it a whole ton. There's definitely some different types of zone blitzes, but they weren't running that a whole lot. I mean, with Betcher, it was a lot of cover two, cover three, cover four, kind of basic defenses. I just didn't see anything crazy out of Betcher. So yeah, if having this huge complex defense, I don't know. I think defenses don't need to be that complex. It's why the Tampa 2 has lasted forever. I mean, that's why I like a guy like Wink Martindale, where he's running a lot of blitzes. I mean, 55%, unbelievable. So yeah, I don't know about bringing in some kind of complex D, but if college kids are getting it, then the NFL guys should be able to.
Yeah, and basically, I guess what if we're talking about Wink and what Wink does well is he shapes his scheme around to the personnel around him in terms of the strengths that they have. Something that I expected heading into 2019 is Alec Ogletree is not very good in coverage. Let's blitz him more often. Let's send him on more blitz. Let's send him on more stunts.
Or we could just send him off the team too. How about that, Justin?
Ooh.
Ogletree can't be part of this team next year, can he?
Ooh, wait.
I'm going to lose my mind. I'm making points, not jokes, Justin.
I would agree that Alec Ogletree is probably the worst player on this roster, but neither here nor there. Can college coaches also adjust to that, very similar to Wink has done in Baltimore? It's a great question, and I would say it's a risky chance to take.
Yeah, I'm all for bringing in NFL guys with Matt Rhule. There's got to be some kind of connections he's made. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of him just bringing his whole college staff in. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
Next voicemail, you have to answer this one first.
Next voicemail, you got it.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Justin. This is Joey, a.k.a. Big Blue Hulk on Twitter. Wanted to reach out, say I'm glad to hear you both on the show. But I did want to ask you about something I saw from our buddy Vinny Rapsiardi today. He suggested that some of these other interviews might be for coordinators for Matt Rhule, such as Chris Richard might be a good fit for defensive coordinator. Eric Bieniemy could want a chance to call his own plays as an offensive coordinator, and that way you get to keep a similar offense to what Daniel Jones is already used to as an additional read disciple compared to Pat Shurmur. So wanted to get your thoughts on that. Glad to see you guys are doing the voicemail back. I think it's super cool. Talk to you later.
Yeah, in terms of this voicemail, thanks to Joey for calling in. But in terms of this voicemail, I think that if we're talking about Matt Rhule, and the rumors are true about Matt Rhule, who wants to bring in his own staff, and he wants to bring in his own personnel, and if the Giants therefore also will allow him to do that, let's just say in this hypothetical scenario, we may not see the guys that have been interviewed for jobs because Chris Richard right now is basically looking for a job since Mike McCarthy is going to want to bring in his own people. I don't know if that's necessarily what Matt Rhule is going to want to do. Now, I really do think if somebody other than Matt Rhule comes in and the Giants are going to take that control that they've taken in the past in terms of we're going to kind of decide what our personnel and what our coaching staff may look like in some ways and not have the coach have total control over that, you may very well see, you know what, we interview Chris Richard. We kind of want him to come back to the Giants in a way. Chris Richard's role would be an elevated role than the role that he had in Dallas, because he would be possibly a full-time defense coordinator and he would be calling the defensive plays on a full-time basis.
Yeah, Richard's a guy I could see that happening with. Bieniemy, I don't see him leaving Kansas City, unless he's getting a head coaching job, obviously. Yeah, I don't think they brought in Richard to look at him as a defensive coordinator, but I'm sure that kind of got brought up. Like, who else are you talking to? What are you going to do if you don't get a head coaching job? So, yeah, Richard is definitely a guy. I'm not sitting here saying I've done a ton of research on him, but that he's definitely that guy. Now, Danny, or I just
oh,
did it.
Oh, you did it. That's
Danny.
The first time.
Listen, I know. And when an ex calls you their, or when someone calls you their ex's name, it feels really bad. So I know you feel really bad, Justin.
For everybody listening, every time Bobby calls me Danny, you have to take a shot.
Or I could have to do like 5 push-ups or something, so I could really get it. Just kidding. Anyways, what I forgot was, are we doing Bill Belichick or Sean Payton?
Oh,
who are we got? God. I love the people who got like, are you kidding? Are you crazy, man? They're not happening. It's like, yeah, no kidding. But it's fun to dream. And I did have like a 5% chance. It's like, you know, what if Robert Kraft says I'm bringing Brady back and Belichick's like, I'm not doing this with Brady. And Belichick decides to skirt skirt and he comes back home. He does love it. I mean, if you watch that 30 for 30 with him and Parcells, he loves the Giants, and the only time you ever see Bill Belichick get emotional is when he's talking about Carl Banks and Lawrence Taylor and all those guys.
Do you think John Mara would fire Dave Gettleman to have Bill Belichick
yes,
run the team?
Yes, he would be nuts to not. And I don't think Bill Belichick's even as good. Like, he's nowhere near as good a GM as he is a head coach. In fact, he has some like kind of questionable moves as like the GM of that team, but as far as like just coming and coaching this team, like, oh, hey, sexy, those are the worst people. And I know some of them listen. I'm calling you the worst right now that like brought up like, no, I actually wouldn't want him. It's like, come on. We cannot be that picky right now. And then like, so like Sean, people are like, nope, no way. Sean Payton. It's like, are you kidding me? These guys are great coaches. So anyways, I don't know how we got off on that tangent. Come home, Bill Belichick. It was fun doing that. And the funny thing was, is I found that clip of the end of the Patriots game where him and Bill Belichick, they're not even looking at each other. They're looking past each other, and people tried to explain that to me. Like, they're not even looking at each other. No, it's like, you're right. They're looking into each other.
I look into Daniel Jones' soul.
And he wanted Daniel Jones. There's no doubt about that. There's a quote he had to David Cutcliffe.
All right, what Brady's else? What done. Else? Brady's done? That's your take?
He's done in New England. I don't think Bill wants him back.
Well, then this is the scenario where I really do feel like Kraft would be like, all right, then Bill, get the hell on out of here.
And come on back home, baby. Just come on home. I couldn't wait to play that corny song as the intro to that episode. I'm coming home and making videos of Bill Belichick not showing any emotion.
Oh, I thought you were gonna play Gary Come Home, the SpongeBob song.
No, I can't remember that one. We can play it, though.
You're a big SpongeBob fan.
I know. I just don't remember that song.
Terrible. Terrible. Was a number one hit in 2006.
All right. Let's go to the next voicemail. We're losing control.
Hey, Bobby, this is Mike Shizzle coming to you from Phoenix AZ, former Long Island resident. My question is, at least from my observation, I feel like Pat Shurmur was a good guy. He was good with the guys. They liked him. I don't think he was good at calling plays. And that, I mean, obviously that to me is my biggest issue with him. What do you think in regards to that, and what do you think some of the other candidates can bring to the table that might help with that, whether it's delegating play calling duties to the OC, whoever the new OC is, or something like that. Thank you. Big fan of you and John Boy Media.
Thank you. I'm a big fan of you, Mike Shizzle. The good news for that is that the two top candidates, or at least in our eyes right now, Wink and Matt Rhule, both wouldn't call plays on offense. And Wink would supposedly bring in Joe Brady. I don't know who Rhule would bring in. But we can't use that as a complaint anymore, which it was a valid one, but we can't say anymore, well, we want a head coach that doesn't call plays, because it looks like we're not going to get one unless McDaniels or Bieniemy has a run at it, at this.
Right, right. And
even Bieniemy, yeah. Like, do you think Bieniemy would call plays even though he's never called plays in the NFL? Like, that's a weird thing, like bringing an offensive coordinator who would never call plays. I think that is what's holding Bieniemy back. And to whose call was it? Was it Joey's call? To say, maybe there is some, merit to that. Maybe Bieniemy would leave. Like, listen, Andy, I love you, but I got to call plays or I'm never going to get a head coaching job.
I mean, I would hope that he wouldn't call plays, because, I mean, if you're going to be coaching for the first time at the NFL level, I mean, think of all the things that you have to manage, let alone you've never called plays before, but then you also need to manage the game, which is something that you've never really done before on the sidelines for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I would
Andy
really
Reid
hope-
taught him great time management, though.
But, I would hope that that wouldn't be your approach heading into your first year. I mean, that's a really a ton of pressure that you're putting on yourself right there.
So I can't remember what the original question is.
Well, the original question was in regards to Pat Shurmur was a good guy.
Pat Shurmur was a good guy. And listen, he's going to make a good offensive coordinator somewhere. I'm telling you about that. Washington might put together the best damn coaching staff in the NFL with Rivera, Del Rio, who I love Del Rio, and then Shurmur. There's also rumors in Chicago. That would be if I was Shurmur, I wouldn't want to go to Chicago just because now this would come off as blasphemy from my mouth. I think I'd rather take a chance on Haskins than I would Trubisky at this point. Because at least Trubisky we know cannot read defenses. Whereas Haskins, it's like, okay, maybe we could figure something out with this cat.
Basically, where I kind of sit with Pat Shurmur, I've said this over and over again throughout the entire season, so I guess it's poetic justice to kind of say it one more time on Talking Giants for maybe a lot of you that this is your first time listening to me. But basically, Pat Shurmur's lack of situational awareness throughout the entire season in terms of, I say, not running play action enough, or when he did run play action, he would run a lot of play action bootlegs in the red zone. And that's, I think, a recipe for disaster, since basically if you run play action bootlegs in the red zone, the field shrinks. So then therefore the ability for Daniel Jones to do something with the ball when the field gets small and the field shrinks, that's very difficult. I really did enjoy the aspects of 2018 in which Eli Manning was passing out of running formations and utilizing play action towards the second half of that season. And what did we not see this year? We didn't see a replication of that. Daniel Jones ran a ton out of 11 personnel. Granted, the team was down and they were losing a lot of the time. So what you're doing when you're losing, you're throwing the ball more. But just, not being aware of what works in the NFL. And what works in the NFL, you see this all the time. I think the Vikings are Vikings. I envy them as a football team right now. They really do play complementary football, not to use that cliche phrase, but they really do. Kirk Cousins is running play action. He's running crossing routes and he's throwing all the way across the field to guys that are wide open. They're utilizing Dalvin Cook in fun and interesting ways. They're sealing the edge with blocking tight ends. And that's a really fun football team to watch. And frankly, the Minnesota Vikings were the type of team where I wished the New York Football Giants were, in the way that they ran their overall offense. I wish they ran their offense like that, but Pat Shurmur failed in that regard for me.
Yeah, and a big part of the Vikings' offense is having Kyle Rudolph, not as a receiver, but the way he can block. Like, Evan Engram has been an improved blocker, but he'll never be a good blocker. So yeah. Hey, Lucy, making noise with the bone. All right, next voicemail.
This is our final voicemail.
Hey, Bobby, so since you threatened to injure my family if we didn't leave Twitter question from the voicemail. I thought this is Brian from your favorite Duke fan and Duke alum, new follower of the show. So just the whole thing with McCarthy and not even taking a second meeting with the Giants, do you think it's a reflection of the diminished value of the Giants brand and or organizational situation? Or do you think he looked at the rosters and basically said that he felt like that he could win and be more successful earlier and more consistently in Dallas than he could with the Giants? So interested in your thoughts on that. Okay, take care. Bye.
This is a good question from a good friend and Brian, who he's a new Giants fan because he's a Duke guy. So this is his first year as a Giants fan. So the Mike McCarthy thing, I really don't think it had anything to do with the Giants, Justin. I think it had everything to do with, I think Mike McCarthy realized that he might not get a job again. And for him to go 0-2 in 2 years would be big time damaging for him. So I think it really was that Jerry Jones obviously had him in and pretty much like locked him in a room and they slept together. Ooh. Like, listen, I want to make you the head coach. And they got the deal done. I think it was more of an urgency on Mike McCarthy. And I do think the Dallas Cowboys, besides Jerry Jones, is the best deal because they have a lot of talent. They've had a QB in Dak Prescott, who you may not think is ever going to be elite, but he's showed to be pretty damn good. You have Ezekiel Elliott, that offensive line, a lot of talent on defense with guys like Jalen Smith, who is an unbelievable linebacker, DeMarcus Lawrence, who had a down year but was a great talent, Vandross. Like, you have talent all around that team. So I think Mike McCarthy's like, he didn't like, what happens if Jerry Jones brings somebody else in and he doesn't get that job or something? So I really think Jerry Jones said like, we need to do this. And I saw a lot of people criticizing like, oh, the Giants are taking too long. No way. Like, the Cowboys did that. Have we ever seen a head coaching like search like the Dallas Cowboys? It took them a week to fire Jason Garrett. That wasn't smart. That was, in fact, it was very stupid. And then the only two people you interview is Mike McCarthy and Marvin Lewis. I mean, what were the Dallas Cowboys doing? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Why didn't they go and interview Matt Rhule or McDaniels or somebody? Like, even if Mike McCarthy is the guy they wanted, I feel like that was kind of reckless on the Dallas Cowboys side to do it that way.
This is some of the most bizarre yet funny yet most Dallas Cowboy thing to do in terms of looking for this new head coach. Because from what we heard, this was Sunday before he got fired, because he got fired Sunday night. But Sunday, like morning and afternoon, we were hearing things like, oh yeah, the Dallas Cowboys, they've like moved on from Garrett. They're obviously starting to interview other people, but Garrett is just like low-key refusing to leave. And he's like, still trying to fight for his job. I don't think it was even Garrett. I think it
was Jerry Jones was refusing to let him leave.
I heard that it was the opposite, that it was Garrett that just didn't want to leave, and he was trying to convince the organization.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not like saying I have sources on it, but it just like what I don't understand. Like, and people criticize the Giants for being a family business, and they're not wrong. But my gosh, Jerry Jones, like that is the most family business thing I've ever seen all time in the NFL.
Wait, can you wait? Let's actually think about this. I actually like this question, and I want to get to this. I want to get to the organizational part of this question that Brian asked, because I think it's a really great question. But imagine if the shoe was on the other foot, and the New York Football Giants do exactly what the Dallas Cowboys just did, where
it'd be chaos.
Oh my God!
And rightfully so. It should be. Like, if the Giants did that, I would lose, like you said, I would lose my mind. It'd be the most dysfunctional thing of all time. Like I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in like a head coaching search before.
Because, you know, what did Jason Garrett do during his tenure? You can argue he kind of wasted Tony Romo in the, you know, the prime and the latter end of his career. Obviously, he had his health issues towards the end. And then obviously Dak Prescott's entire rookie deal. You're going to hear me talk about, especially this offseason, you're going to hear me talk about value. Value, value, value this offseason. And Bobby Skinner's going to vomit every time that I mention the word value. But get ready for it. It's because that's what offseason is. You talk about roster building. You talk about roster construction. It is malfeasance that the Dallas Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys had as much talent on that roster. And, you know, you can be a Giants fan and you can deny that the Cowboys had a good roster. You know, you can be that way. But they had a very, very good roster with a lot of guys on cheap rookie deals. And they wasted and they pissed all of that away. and I'm laughing at them now that they basically just hired almost a carbon copy of Jason Garrett, except this
They're
guy
the
found
same
a way to win
guy.
A Super Bowl earlier in his career. Yeah.
And Garrett runs – like Tony Romo did so much for that Dallas team. Like, and Dez Bryant, who was kind of a wild man, but like he did have a lot of knowledge of what was going on in that Dallas locker room. So I'm not being like Dez Bryant knows what he's talking about. But he did know what he's talking about within that team. And he came out and said afterwards, like, Tony Romo was the offensive coordinator. He did so many things. There's so many audibles at the line. Whereas Garrett runs a very vanilla offense.
Tony Romo's the freaking offensive coordinator when he's broadcasting games at 4:25 on CBS.
I know. Man's a beast. I love him. I know people like to hate on him, but I love the guy.
Yeah. I want to get to this part of Brian's question where he asks, you know, is this more of a Giants brand and or organizational situation in terms of why McCarthy, you know, maybe didn't come back for a second interview or the fact that he took the Dallas job right away? Or is it, you know, maybe looking at the roster and that's why he took the Dallas job over the Giants job? Now, frankly, if I was a head coach in the National Football League and you're asking me what roster I want to go to, I kind of want to go to the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Giants may be set up in a better situation in terms of, again, having the quarterback on the rookie deal, having Saquon on his rookie deal. And then obviously you're looking at Dak Prescott and then Ezekiel Elliott. They're entering into territories where they're going to be signed for large sums of money for multiple years with a lot of guaranteed money. But I think Brian's question is worth talking about because you hear Jay Glazer, who has said, I'm kind of calling BS on the fact that the Giants are trying to, you know, rebrand themselves in a way in terms of Dave Gettleman allowing, you know, personnel control and overall just more control as a whole, kind of gone on this PR stunt, both Mara and Gettleman, of doing that. And Jay Glazer's been the one to come out and say, you know, I'm kind of calling a little BS on this, where Gettleman does not really give up that personnel control. Shermer's not the guy that actually did have a lot of input on drafting Daniel Jones, even though Gettleman is saying that was the case. So, Bobby, I want to hear what you think about that in terms of Brian's question, in terms of looking at the brand of the Giants and the overall organizational makeup.
The brand of the Giants, I think, is still – like strong. I know it's been some losing things, but the Giants still matter. Like it just does. And like they have like a lot of young pieces in. I think the biggest thing that every coach looks into, the first thing a coach looks into, he goes, who's the QB? And I think this isn't PFF. These coaches like watch film and they look at Daniel Jones and they say, this guy is good and I would love to coach him. And then it comes like, whereas the Dallas Cowboys have a much better roster than the Giants. But I think if you, like, out of all the QBs that have vacant head coaches right now, Daniel Jones is the most excited to be about. So I don't buy that. Now, I do think that Dave Gettleman could have this is the reason I said Dave Gettleman should be fired. Now, it wasn't even, like, necessarily because of his moves or anything. It was the fact that it gets this GM head coach cycle off balance, and that is scary for an incoming head coach. But I also think Matt Rhule is kind of going to be the Giants head coach at this point, too. So – it's hard to read into it all too much. So, yeah. And I really think the Dallas thing had nothing to do with the Giants. Dallas McCarthy had nothing to do with the Giants. I think it had everything to do with Mike McCarthy desperately wanting a head coaching job. Essentially, probably the best one opened up, and they said, let's get it done right now, and they got it done.
I would agree. But, you know, in the doomsday scenario that possibly – and I don't even think it's a doomsday scenario because I think Wink is not a bad option to fall back on if they are
impressed by him. No, I'm kind of rooting for it.
Yeah. But I do think it is a question that is worth revisiting if Rhule definitely decides to pick up and go to Carolina, which isn't as much of a favorable situation as the Giants. You can argue. There are some people that would argue that Carolina, what they're doing in terms of their ownership and in terms of their management, is they're instead of the Giants, how they're learning while they're trying to do it, the Panthers are actually actively trying to rebrand in terms of, not necessarily rebrand, but rethink how they are running their football operations. There are some people that say that the Giants, it's kind of BS when they're saying that they're trying to do that in terms of this whole PR stunt that they've done where Gettleman's talking about, you know, computer folks and analytics and stuff like that. I tend to believe it because why would they be saying it when they've been so smug about it in the past?
And we know they have employees and they've had them for a while too.
Yes, absolutely. This question is a topic worth revisiting. If maybe not necessarily if Rule decides to stay in Baylor, because I would not want to leave that salary and the power that you have as a college head coach, but definitely if he decides to pick up and go to Carolina, it's a topic worth revisiting.
All right, Justin, let's get into the mail.
All right, first one is coming from Andrew Owens. Andrew Owens has been a day one for John Boy Media and myself and my page. So thank you for leaving a question, Andrew Owens. And I'm going to butcher this name, but does Yannick Ngoku, who is that edge rusher coming from the Jacksonville Jaguars, Bobby, do you know if I said that last name right?
Nope, I don't know. I think it's Ngakwe.
It sounds right. Oh, I think it's Ngakwe. There is a U in there. That would make sense. Does Yannick Ngakwe fit the timeline of contention, or is there someone better to save cap space for in a future year? Does this even matter because we are just going to overpay for Leonard Williams anyway? Bobby Skinner, what do you think?
I definitely think he might be target number one. And we're looking at, what, like $80 million in cap space? There's another question about how much to use. So I won't get into that. Yeah, I definitely see Ngakwe being a guy to go after just because an above-average pass rusher can really change a defense, and especially a defense that has all this young secondary. So, yeah, I definitely see them being – I definitely see him being a guy that the Giants go after, even with – because you're overpaying for Leonard Williams, but you still have all this room to go and get guys, and we don't expect the Giants to go and use all that cap space anyway. So, yeah, Ngakwe is definitely a guy I would go after. As far as looking forward to next year, it's hard to do that because guys re-sign, you know, like the best players re-sign, unless there's, you know, cap issues like Jacksonville has. And then there's trades like Clowney this year and Laremy Tunzel and whatnot. So, yeah, Ngakwe is definitely a guy I would love to go at. I mean, I haven't looked totally into free agency, but a guy like him at that position is definitely a guy I'd love to go and overpay for. And like you mentioned, Justin, before, we have our QB with 4 years left on his rookie deal. We have Saquon with 3 years left on his rookie deal. So we got time to overpay for some guys.
Yeah, this is really the time to go for it. In terms of Ngakwe, what I've heard from the Jacksonville Jaguars and what I've seen online is that the Jaguars are actually going to make him a priority in terms of re-signing. Now, obviously, their cap space, especially if they're paying Foles, and they have a large quarterback deal on their books. So depending on what their cap space looks like, they may not be able to do that, especially considering how edge rushers really like to get their guaranteed money. So does everyone
else. Talked
but,
about, like, he's tweeted out about like Jacksonville. It's like he's basically been, it's been real. So as much as you're hearing that from them, I don't see them being able to sign to an extension. Then once you hit the open market, you're anybody's game.
It really also does depend on what system the Giants are going to be running by a, you know, whoever is going to be coming in terms of whether we're going to have a defensive-minded coach or whatever defense coordinator is going to be coming in, depending on whatever head coach we have. So that's definitely going to be – this is a question that's kind of like to be determined in a way.
Yeah, but I think Ngakwe could come in through anything, any position. Oh, yeah. Actually, Matthew Judo is a guy I'd probably go after over Ngakwe.
Topher Pete, he asked about head coach, who are we getting and why do you think he is the correct pick? He also asked, Wade Phillips tweeted that his contract would not be renewed. How do you guys feel about him as our next defensive coordinator? Now, we kind of touched upon this, Bobby. Is there anything else you want to say about it?
Yeah, we already touched on Wade Phillips, but the head coaching, obviously I'm on the train for Wink Martindale right now. I think what he does defensively is pretty awesome. I love having that balls in. You can't just say, oh, well, it's the Ravens defense. Like, he amped up blitzing 15% from last year, and they lost talent. So, and he's a guy who's elevated his talent, where Marcus Peters, where he was kind of a liability with the Rams, came to Baltimore halfway through the season, and all of a sudden he's playing like a great corner because Wink was putting him in situations to be able to make plays and play a little ballsier. At least that's what it looks like from the outside looking in. So he's the guy I want, especially if he brings in Joe Brady as OC, and supposedly that's what he – what his like ploy was to the Giants. He's like, I'm going to bring this cat with me. And he also said, like, he seemed willing to work with Gettleman, that he said, I just want to coach football. So Wink would be my guy. Rule I'd be excited about, but Wink is the guy I would feel – he's the guy I'd be most excited for. Rule I'd be excited for too as well. I really think it's down to those two guys though.
Yeah, I'm really am hoping and praying for either one of those two guys because, frankly, you do look at the pool, especially with McCarthy not here. You feel very worried about McDaniels. There's a part of me that says that McDaniels wouldn't even want to come to the Giants, I really do think he is kind of waiting for the New England job. Hopefully for you.
Seriously, but I hate McDaniel so much.
Does he kind of fit what New England's doing and that smug kind of attitude? Do you think that fits over there?
It's the only way it works is if he takes over for Belichick and keeps things as status quo. Nowhere else is going to work. I'm telling you, the guy.
For that reason, I'm praying that either one of these two guys is hired, because it would be different. It would be a different energy. It would be a different vibe. Because obviously, Rhule's being the CEO type. Even Martindale would be kind of like that CEO type as well. But I would say, I mean, they're both definitely leader of men. And that would be a refreshing vibe coming into the organization. It's something that the organization desperately needs.
Wink will kick someone's ass for real. Like Matt Rhule talks about motivation or toughness. Wink lives it.
Oh, I like that. We got to put that on a shirt or something. Jeff Boyd.
Boyd!
After the pressers and whatnot, what is your guys' confidence level on a scale of 1 to 10 with the Tua announcement, which is actually huge, and we didn't talk about it. With the Tua announcement, do you guys foresee Dave Gettleman trading down, first time for him, I know, to make up in the Williams trade? Jeff, yes. Yes, yes, and yes. Trade down.
I think they should. It's hard to say right now, like this far out. Really don't believe any trade rumors when it comes to the draft. Like, even from Schefter, you get into smokescreen. And then, like, when Benjamin Albright comes out a year and a half later and says, the Broncos offered this, it's like, you're coming out with this a year and a half later? Like, I just don't believe it, especially from a guy like Benjamin Albright, who's been a proven liar before, about stuff that doesn't even matter. So it's hard to say, like, with the Colts and Jets, were the Colts offering the same thing to the Giants? Like, we don't know. So it's hard to say, but yeah, if the right deal comes along, yeah, definitely trade back. And I would be fine trading back into like the 18 and 20s for the right pick, because there's so, especially on defense, there's so much more than one guy. Like, as much as Isaiah Simmons would be fun to watch behind these interior D linemen and Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence and Dalvin Tomlinson and possibly a free agent, as much as it'd be fun to watch him behind those guys, there's a lot of room for improvement. And corner's one of them, with Jack Rabbit being gone.
And even the tackle spot is pretty stacked in this draft class too. So you can even trade back if something is going to fit. Now, obviously, this is just a personal gripe that I have. I really, really wish the draft was before free agency. Like, I desperately wish, but I also recognize how that would never happen because of ratings and the fact that they put the NFL draft, you know, right at the end of the end of March or in the April. It's at the end of April.
Yeah, April 23rd.
Yeah, it goes to the end of April. So they ultimately push back the draft because it would be better for ratings, because people are just craving football.
I will say though, in the trade down situation, like quarterback, tackle is a position I don't think you play around with. If there's a guy you like, if you think Andrew Thomas is the guy, you get him. You don't play around like, oh, we'll trade back and get a different tackle. Tackle is so important. I'm telling you, like I said, just like quarterback, if you like a guy, you get your guy. You don't play games with that. Now, if you think Andrew Thomas isn't going to be great, then you can play around a little bit.
All right, Brian Colburn, he asks, there's been a lot of talk about the team trading down to the draft. Do you see any scenario that Gettleman would entertain trading up in that draft to go for Young if that's really the big need for the team? So it's a little different than our last question. It has a little bit of a twist.
For me, absolutely not. Oh, and by the way, we were supposed to grade our confidence 1 to 10. Mine's a 6. But trading up. I could not see any scenario where that happens.
After the pressures, what's my confidence level on a 1 to 10? Jeff Boyd asked in the previous question. I would say I'm at a 4.7.
Oh, wow. I'm getting all decimal. I think you're cool. What, are you going to put it on a graph now, nerd boy?
Yep, you know it. But yeah, I'm with you. We're still technically a team that's rebuilding. I think Dave Gettleman is finally kind of embracing the idea that you want to know what this team is, a rebuilding team. If you're a rebuilding team, you can't be giving up picks. You have to garner picks in any possible way that you can. So trading down definitely does make more sense than trading up, even though Chase Young is a generational talent. Jake Highwell, he puts the Q for question, just in case we need a clarification. I appreciate that, because this is my first time reading mailbag and I get easily confused. Jake Highwell, he asks, doesn't it seem that the Cowboys jumped at McCarthy without really performing much of a head coaching search? And I think we both say yes.
Yep, we covered that earlier.
Great. Oh, did you see the text
message? Breaking news! Breaking news on the show! Tish is apparently going to be at the meeting with Rule tomorrow, getting the feeling we may have a new head coach tomorrow if all goes well. That is by Danny King, still contributing to the show. He just hit us up in the group tech. Woo! 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 Do you have a breaking news soundboard? Probably not, but we should have one for these situations like this. Matt Rule's going to be a Giant.
How was that?
Well, Justin, you'll come to know that eventually we'll get our own sound effects from the ambulances that drive by all the time.
Ooh. tough Matt Rule's a
Giant.
Bobby.
Matt Rule's a Giant. And that whole point about Tish earlier in the show. All right, next question. Let's get this done now. Let's move along.
Matt Carson, do you guys think that we will spend a lot during free agency so we can compete or wait until next year?
I say $40 million. That leaves a lot for next year, and it lets you bring in some good players. You got to assume Leonard Williams is on there for, let's just say, $12 million. You get Ngakoue, that's $14 million. That's $26 million. That leaves you $14 to $20 million if you want to say $45 million to bring in Marcus Golden, a fullback, and some other guys you could plug in. So $40 to $50 million for me.
Yeah, Dave Gettleman did make reference at his press conference that he does want to keep $20 million. At least this is post-free agency, I believe, heading into the draft, so you can have enough room to sign your draftees and also make your midseason acquisitions, which the Giants did not have enough cap room to make their midseason acquisitions this season. So he definitely does want to leave some change in the bank heading into 2020 season. Final question from ACL Tears. Tough look. With McDaniel's interview now
is scheduled. Carson Wentz or something?
oof. Bobby. Bobby.
Hey,
Bobby,
you guys say I like Philly too much. I'm going at it. I'm going hard.
Bobby Skinner, jeez. So ACL Tears asked with our final mailbag question. With the McDaniels interview now scheduled for Wednesday and McCarthy gone, should fans be worried that the search is taking too long? Do you guys think that the Giants don't let Rule leave and cancel the McDaniels visit? Now, with this breaking news update, that the fact that Steve Tisch will be in attendance for today's meeting, Bobby, what do you think?
I think our next show we'll have a head coach. How about that? And I think it's going to be the guy they want. Yeah, I don't think it's been too long, though. I think the Cowboys acted crazy.
Yeah, because nobody else besides the Cowboys have hired their head coach. Washington. Whoops.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's true. But they're kind of on a different timeline. All right, Justin, that's the show. Your first show on Talking Giants is donezo. I think you did pretty good, I'll be honest.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
But I'll give you a D, because a D is good for you.
Mm.
See, I like to take shots. I'm a negative person. Mm.
Again, tough look for me, but that's all right.
What's your grade for me? Scale of 1 to 10.
No, can I give you a -2 to +2 because that's how Pro Football Focus grades their players?
Do you know what, Justin? When we were doing, me and Danny were doing our Dave Gettleman grade, halfway through, I was like, oh my gosh, we're doing a Pro Football Focus grade for Dave Gettleman right now.
I would give you a 0.5 based off of today's show.
No big time takes. All right, that's a show. We appreciate you guys. Hey, Justin Stance, leave us a review. 5 stars. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time. Until then, let's go Big Blue.